Good morning. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. Please be seated. My name is Denise Crockford. I'm the duty elder this morning. And thank goodness there's no rain and the temperature's dropped a little, so we have a perfect morning. There's not very much I have to bring your attention to because everything is in the brochure. Reverend McCanch has a few words.
Thanks, Denise. We were contacted at the office this week by Joan McDonald, Janice, Ken's daughter, and some of you may remember Ken and Jean McDonald that were members at Pineland years back. Janice passed away Thursday, August the 11th, and there was a funeral held for her on August 15th, and they just asked that we would announce that to you today for those of you that remember Janice, Ken, and Jean. And we do hold them in our prayers this day as they go through this loss in their life. I don't think Janice was very old, Bob, was she? Mid-50s, yeah, so very young. The last thing I'd like to announce for announcements, I guess, is that this is our last Sunday here, Donna and I, for a while because we're taking our holidays. Well, that got scary the way I started this. It's our last Sunday here. No. You're not getting rid of me that easily. It's our last Sunday before our vacation, and we'll be gone, as it's in the bulletin, that we'll be gone for September, and during that time we've got lots of good speakers lined up to lead worship, Mo Anderson, Larry Amiro, and John Cruikshank on alternating weeks and whatnot, and so, and if you need any pastoral care, you can certainly get hold of the office, and they'll get hold of Curtis Bablitz up at Brant Hills for you. So we're looking forward to a bit of a break and a break in the weather and all that sort of stuff too. Let's take a moment and prepare our hearts for worship this morning. As we will see, it says in Hebrews today, our God is a consuming fire, and this light, this fire that is in our midst today is a reminder of Christ's presence, that consuming fire of God is that we worship this morning. We'll gather for our call to worship.
The responsive call to worship is in your bulletin. God is our rock and our fortress, our refuge and strength. God is our hope and our trust. Praise the Lord. Our first hymn is Father We Love, number 300.
Please be seated. Our God is compassionate and merciful, knowing us with an intimacy that we cannot comprehend. There is nothing we have done or left undone that is not already known by God. This gives us confidence to be fully ourselves before God, and that we can truly be fully forgiven in Christ. Let's bow our heads before our prayer of adoration, confession, in the Lord's Prayer. God of healing and reconciliation, you free us from our burdens, and you promise us true safety and refuge under your arms, your wings, and your strength, inside that ring, I guess, of consuming fire that protects us. Help us, Lord, to trust in your power, that we may praise you without qualification and rejoice in that power of your Son, that we can think of that consuming fire, that consuming love that you have for us, that we can see in that image of a fire, I suppose. God of life, you come to us as a consuming fire, and you are the one who has consecrated us before time. You promise us a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and call us to serve you with praise and thanksgiving. But even though this is all very true, Lord, we often forget and we yield to fear. Instead of seeing that consuming fire as an emblem of your love, we see it as something much more dangerous, much more fearful. We trust in the tangible rewards often of this world, but we neglect your promises that you have for us. We confess there are times that we're divided people, times that we disagree simply because it's our own selfish nature that's causing this. We foster separation sometimes, Lord, and cause rifts in our families and in our communities and in our world simply because we want our way. Open us to your healing, Lord. Free us from all that distances us from your presence. Call us closer to that flame of that consuming fire of your love. Give us your grace and inspire us to serve you, Lord, with courage. And we pray this through Christ. And we pray now, Lord, the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Promising forgiveness and sustenance, we need to amend our lives, and God rejoices in our longing for wholeness. We give thanks that we've been known and forgiven and set free to live a resurrected life of faith in Christ. Now, we have the insert that you have in your bulletin. It talks is a reference to a mission that's taking place, and we well know this in our congregation here over the last number of months, the Malawi mission. It's a sort of a joint project between three congregations, St. James, New St. James Presbyterian in London, ourselves, Burlington East here in Burlington, and Kitchener East Presbyterian Church in Kitchener. And until I was putting all these notes together, I didn't realize that there's another church very similarly named, City East Presbyterian Church, and maybe we're starting a trend, I don't know. So I don't know who got that first. Nonetheless, it's a sort of a three-part or three-joint effort. What's important, particularly on this handout, you can stick it on your fridge or your computer at home, is the address down at the bottom where you can follow their adventures and whatnot that they're taking place in Malawi over the next month or so. And there's already some entries in there. And I wanted to read that first entry to you this morning from that blog spot. And hello all, it says. Thank you for your interest in following our upcoming trip to Malawi. Our departure date is so soon as we will be leaving on the 29th of August, less than 3 weeks away when this was originally written. It's next week, next week beyond. This blog will hopefully be a place where our friends, family, and church can keep up with our adventures along the way. Our group of six will be spending 3 weeks in Malawi. We have opticians Gail Harrison and Brian Todd accompanying us so we can conduct eyeglass clinics for the people of Malawi. Thanks to donations from many sources, we are able to bring over 2,000 pairs of eyeglasses with us that will hopefully help those who have poor eyesight to see better than they ever have before. We would like to express how appreciative we are to everyone who came out to help with our mock eyeglasses clinic at the church this past Saturday. It's a month ago or so. The event was a great success and helped us prepare for what we will be doing once over in Malawi. Saturday was also very successful in that we got a majority of bags that we'll be taking packed. In addition to the glasses we have numerous other supply items, including, but not limited to, eyeglass cases, supplies for crafts that we'll be doing with the children, feminine hygiene kits, receiving blankets, dolls, and so much more. Many of these items were either donated or made by the people in the church, the three churches here, and friends, and we are so thankful for them. And if you go to that website on your computer, you can follow them on a daily basis and as they leave, as it says on the 29th. Now, I'm going to ask Sarah, where are you, Sarah? There you are. Come on up here for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activity, but the same God activates all of them in everyone. To each is given a gift by the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together we are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Though we have different gifts, together we are called to be the church with ministry in the world which is led by the risen Christ. And Jesus says this in Matthew 5. To those who followed him, Jesus said, you are a light in the world, a city built on a hill that cannot be hid. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Sarah Steffi, you're a member of the body of Christ and a member of this particular congregation here in Burlington East, and we rejoice today that you've answered a call, and it is a call in so many ways, and to engage in a special ministry as an agent of God in that sense of reconciling love in the world at consuming fire, and we're thankful for all the gifts of grace and knowledge which have been given to you to do this, and your team as well. We rejoice that Christ has crowned those gifts with a call to a specific ministry in a particular place where you can exercise your skills and express your faith in Christ so that others may be brought closer to the rule of God and be able to live better in so many ways, because these eyeglasses are going to make such a difference in their lives. If I take mine off, I know exactly what that means. When I first got glasses, I just needed them for reading. Now I need them to see, because there's just a blur out there now. And I used to make fun of my brother-in-law, who wore glasses since we were in high school. And when he took his glasses off, he couldn't see anything. And, oh, you're so funny, I can't see. Now I can't. It came back to bite me. So I know it'll make a big difference for all of them, and that's just a lovely thing. So what we're doing this morning, in a way, is bringing your attention to the congregation that you're doing this, and in a way commissioning you as you go forth to do this, and to ask the congregation to continue to support you in prayer. So that's where we're going entirely. And congregation, I want to ask you to stand if you're able, because I have a question I want you to respond with. And you're going to respond, hopefully, with the following phrase, we will, God being our helper. And the question to you, congregation, regarding Sarah. Sisters and brothers in Christ, as members of Burlington East Presbyterian Church, do you promise to continue to uphold Sarah Steffler in the work of this ministry in Malawi, remembering her in your prayers and continuing to give support to her in any way possible? God being our helper. Thank you. You can sit down. Very simple to do, see? You've got lots of support. This is good. I'm going to ask that we bow our heads in prayer. We praise you and glorify you, Lord God Almighty, that you created us and called us to yourself. You've redeemed us in Jesus Christ, your Son. You sustain our lives and our works through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. We praise and glorify you, Lord God Almighty, that you formed throughout the world the church to be your chosen people and declare the praises of Christ. And we also really right now give you thanks for your servant Sarah Steffler, who's willing to go forth in the name of Christ to serve you as a ministry aid worker in Malawi, providing glasses and other necessary items to these folks. Spirit of God, anoint her with power to proclaim the good news, to help these people begin to help themselves in so many ways. Give her, we pray, good health of body, mind, and spirit. Be present through the joys and sorrows and the doubts and triumphs that may come along, the certainties and uncertainties of life and ministry to which you call her in this particular effort to do. Lord, we thank you for Sarah and all she's meant to this congregation, and we thank you for these three congregations, and we continue to pray for them, and they're pulling together to put this together, this trip, and for the six people that are going over to Malawi. And it's a dangerous time in which we live in so many ways to be traveling around the world, so we do ask you to be with them and protect them and bring them back to us safely, and let the work they're doing truly change the lives of the people that they're reaching. Hear our prayers in the name of Christ, through whom and with whom and in whom the unity of the Spirit and glory and honor is yours, one God, forever and ever. Now, Bob, you had something you wanted to present. I know that the congregation has been working really hard and strong to do various things, and they've got all kinds of goodies they've been giving you as well. But we've also managed to raise some funds, so Sarah has money to go with and whatnot. But, Bob, I'll let you describe what we've got here.
Yeah, so Sarah, you've been on a wonderful journey here so far. We're very, very supportive. I know from talking to you, your suitcases are overflowing, and no more supplies or items required. But in addition to all the contributions you've received that way, I am pleased to present with you some financial contributions that we received for your mission. So in total, there's over $1,500 Canadian in this envelope for you to take with you on your trip to Malawi and the mission there.
Thank you very much.
You wanted to say your thanks. I'll let you do that now tomorrow. I can hold the envelope if you like. Hold it.
I have a thank you to say to all of you. It's written from my heart, and I wanted to send a thank you card to convey my deepest gratitude and appreciation to everyone here at BEPC for their immediate and ongoing support of my mission trip to Malawi. I am so blessed to be a part of this wonderful church and am so thankful for all of you. Reverend McCanch was the first person with whom I discussed my idea of joining a group of other Presbyterians who were going on a mission trip to Southeast Africa, and he indicated his support right away. I approached Session next, and they also wholeheartedly approved of my wish to join the team and to ask EEPC if they would help provide a variety of needed items to God's people in the terribly poverty-stricken villages outside Blantyre near Zomba in Malawi. I then invited the congregation to participate, and I was overwhelmed by your generosity. Every Sunday, and I mean every Sunday, for months, ever since April, you've brought in craft and school supplies, wool and knitting needles, baby blankets, medical supplies, suitable pieces of luggage in which I will be transporting our gifts, Canadian money and American money that will be spent to buy supplies and food for the people there. You have been knitting like mad, and I have received numerous baby hats, dolls, teddy bears, dishcloths, washcloths. You also help by sewing nearly 200 cases for the eyeglasses that we will be giving out to those children and adults who need them. Lastly, I would like to acknowledge another very kind gesture. The late Ruby McLeod was extremely interested in mission and outreach work and was a long-term member of our Women's Missionary Society group. Her daughter, Holly McLeod, knew that Ruby would have wanted to pay for my personal expenses, like return flights and accommodation at Canada House in Africa, and so she requested that a portion of her mother's gift to BEPC be used to pay for just that. Holly felt this allocation would honor her mother, and her motion at session was indeed approved. With my pieces of luggage bulging at the seams, I will be flying off to Malawi on August 29th with much joy in my heart, knowing that you have all helped me and are behind me. I intend to do God's work with our brothers and sisters on the other side of the world to the best of my ability. I will forever cherish your enthusiasm, kindness, and generosity, and I look forward to telling you all about my experience and showing your some photos when I return. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Now, any elders that are here, I would ask you to come forward. We're going to lay hands on you just to say a little prayer for you, okay? So any elders that happen to be here today, I'd like you to come forward so we can do that. And I call you because I was looking that up, and I knew it said somewhere in there, and in 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 14, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through the prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders." And our elders are coming here today to encourage you, to pray for you, and come on in. We're going to just put our hand on Sarah, and we're just going to lay hands on her, literally. We'll bow our heads. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, yeah, one more coming up. That's good. Lord, we thank you for Sarah's call to this effort. We thank you for the other five that are going with her, and we thank you for the other two congregations that are working with this. Bless her, Lord. Be with her. Keep her safe. Bring her back to us, Lord, with many stories of the help that they've been able to provide and the lives that they've been able to change. Bless her. Keep her. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Thank you. And shake your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, sir. Okay. Let's join together now in our children's hymn, number 375. And we'll have the children come up during the second verse for a short time together. And 375, "Fairest Lord Jesus." Story to you this morning from the Bible, and it's very, very short. And it says here, "There were great crowds of people who followed Jesus to see his miracles and hear him teach about God's love for them. People sometimes forgot, though, to take food with them. So one day there was a huge crowd of 5,000 people and their families that followed Jesus. It was late in the day when they reached Jesus, and the people were getting very hungry. You see them all gathered here. And there was only one with a little bit of food. It was a little boy who had 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fishes." And there's the 5 buns, basically, and 2 little fishes that he had. "And Jesus blessed the food, because the boy said, 'You can use my food to try to feed everybody.' His closest followers and helpers gave out to other people, and after everyone had plenty to eat, the helpers came back with 12 baskets of leftover food. So though, even though there would look like only this much, there was still so much more left over, because the little boy offered some time to help. And that's important in this particular story, because I need you to help me with something." Let's see what's in here. Oh, I need this.
Hi, Bob.
There. Now, see, I need you to help me with something. Pardon my back. Let's see if we can do this together. Can we put this puzzle together? Can you help me see if we can figure this out?
Yeah, I know where that goes.
No, see? You've got to try it. Maybe there. Does that look better?
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll get some more pieces. See if you can figure out where they go. Look for the corner ones first. That's always helpful. Yeah, that's good. There you go. There, that's good. Yeah, you guys are doing a good job. Good job. Yeah, you guys are all helping out a lot. Any more straight edge pieces that go on the outside? How about this one? Where do you think this one goes?
I know where it goes.
Yeah?
It goes over here.
About right there. Yeah. Boy, you guys are really helpful. That's good. I'm glad. We're getting this puzzle done really quick. Let's see. Does that maybe... Oh, I'll try that there. That's good. Yeah, very good. You guys are really quick at this. Wow. Yeah. Good. Good job.
Actually, this is the easiest puzzle I ever done.
Yeah, very good. One more piece to put in. Brett's hiding it. I know. Yeah, Brett, you're hiding it. There you go. Very good job, guys. Thank you for your help on that. See, now, you've helped me do something just like that little boy in the story did with Jesus. He helped Jesus feed the people, and you've helped me do my puzzle. One thing that Miss Sarah's doing is she's taking eyeglasses to all the people. She's taking the eyeglasses to all the people in Malawi that she's going to visit. And I thought this morning I'd give you some minion glasses. You know the minions, you know who they are? And you can have some minion glasses. And you can see. Here you go. It's pretty big for you. Let's see if we can make that fit you. Let's try this on. Everybody can have a pair, even me. See, does that... Oh, that's too small for you. I'm never going to get this done in time. Here we go. Nope, still too small. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
How small are you making them?
Well, apparently too small. Let's try that. There we go. That's a little bit. Well, let's just do that. There you go. You can hold it on, all right? You guys can make it fit yourself. You can make the edges fit. And I'll try and make one for my giant head, okay? I don't think it's going to work for me, though, because my head's huge. Let's see if we can... Nope, I'll just have to put it on like glasses, I guess. There, see, there's my minion glasses. If you put yours on, that's what you're going to look like. Sorry, let me turn around so they can see. And that's to remind you that the people in Malawi are all getting glasses to help them see better, okay? You can take those with you, but what I would like you to do is come on up here, we'll hold hands and we'll say a prayer together. Good job. Okay, let's hold hands together. All right, just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love and people like Miss Sarah who are helping others. Help us to help others. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. I think Miss Sarah is going to see some of you in the nursery if you want. And who dropped this? Lacey, I think you did. We'll join together and sing our last two verses of our hymn from this morning. Good job, guys. God's word read, let's bow our heads for a moment and ask for God's illumination in our hearts. Almighty God, you know us better than we know ourselves, and that is such a true statement to make. By your word, you give us wisdom. By your spirit, you grant us healing, and you set us free to serve you in so many different ways with love, that consuming fire. We ask that you open our hearts and minds now, that we can hear your word through these scriptures read. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is from your Psalters. It's taken from Psalm 71, verses 1 to 6. And there's a whole wealth of images in this particular psalm that show that God is an attentive and loving God and is able to rescue those who call on his name. And we're thinking of that in particular as we think of others in the midst of a very poverty-stricken country, Malawi, and as many others around the world, but certainly as Sarah's heading off there. We want to remember that God is the one who provides God is the one who protects. God is the one who loves. Psalm 71, verses 1 to 6.
In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock, my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth, which you took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you.
Thank you. Our Old Testament reading today is taken from the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter of Jeremiah, and that's page 698 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. Verses 4 and 5 of Jeremiah seem to be clear that the calling is for Jeremiah is one of God's divine initiative, so to speak. And we are reading, this is a classic sort of reading from Jeremiah about God knowing us before we were even conceived in so many ways, before you in the womb as you read there. And it's a calling. In Sarah's particular case, it's a calling for her and the people that are going there. And in many ways, they're providing physical need, but as we'll see in the message this morning, that they're helping other people help themselves in so many ways. They're showing that God loves them in this manner. And Jeremiah certainly was called out in so many ways as a prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Our New Testament reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 12. We continue our reading that we started 2 weeks ago in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. And that's page 227 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And it's continuing on in this discussion in the first couple of chapters, 11, all of 11, in the beginning of 12. We were talking about what faith is. And now this continues on talking about what it is to live in Christ in so many ways, that God has given us so many blessings and gifts. And this is where this phrase, consuming fire, comes from. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 18. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses did I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what was shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10, and page 76. In the New Testament part of your pew Bibles, and this is a story that we may be very familiar with, where Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath. And we will note that there are many cases throughout the Gospels where Jesus is doing what seem to be very simple things on that Sabbath or that holy day, and gets criticized by the religious leaders of his day for doing something when he shouldn't be. In other words, they think he's breaking the law, and as we'll see, he's teaching something much deeper, that we should be caring for people no matter what else is going on. As they cross our path, we should be reaching out to them in love and in faith in that consuming fire of God. Luke 13, beginning at verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on a Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over to her and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, as you can see in your bulletin, number 592, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky," 592. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people this morning. Holy Spirit, consuming fire, speak to us this day that word that you have for us as a congregation and us as individuals. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. The story I'm going to read to you is a very traditional one, I guess, traditional folk tale found all over the world. It's a story that I'm not going to tell you what it's about until we get into it, I guess. And I'm hoping that this story can illustrate for us this call, this move that Sarah's making and that we are making along with these other two congregations to reach out to people and in a way presenting the love of God and the gospel of Christ in that respect. Once upon a time, just as the sun was setting, three weary travelers came to the edge of a town. Their feet were blistered, their mouths were dry, and their bellies were aching with hunger. "I'm starving," moaned the first. "I'm exhausted," groaned the second. "Let's stop in this town and ask for help," said the third. Now, the people who lived in this town were by no means rich, and what little food they had, they always kept for themselves. And when they looked out of their houses and saw the three travelers, they said to each other, "Look, hungry strangers, we know what they want. Quick, let's hide all the food and pretend we have nothing." And that's exactly what they did. The travelers came to the first house and knocked gently on the door. "Good day and peace be with you," said the first. "Will you please kindly share a little of your food with us tonight?" "And a corner, maybe where we could sleep for the night," added the second. "And we'll tell you about our travels in return," promised the third. "Sorry," said the man of the house. We gave all our spare food to the travelers who came here last week." "And then really, this is only one room in this house," said the man's wife, but really both of them were lying. Travelers sighed and they went to the next house. "Go away," said the owners. "The harvest was very bad this year and every bit of food we have is gone." And they too were lying. At every house, the answer was the same. The townspeople always found an excuse. The children were sick, they had relatives that were staying, they were going away, a plague of mice had eaten everything, one lie after another. The travelers knew that they were being lied to, but what could they do? They were just about to give up and leave the town when one of the travelers had an idea. "The people here have quite a lot to learn," he said. Let's play a little trick on them and teach them a very big lesson." "An excellent idea," said the second. "Yeah, but what sort of a trick?" asked the third, and what kind of a lesson?" "Well, gather round," said the first, "and I'll tell you." So in whispers and secret signs, he did tell them. And as the plan unfolded, his two companions nodded and grinned from ear to ear. As soon as they were ready to put their plan into action, the first traveler spoke in a very big, booming voice so that the nearby townspeople were sure to hear. "How terribly sad that the poor people in this town have no food," he said. "But never mind, we three shall go to the town square, and there, as nightfall, we shall make a pot of our delicious and nutritious stone soup." But when they heard this, the townspeople were extremely curious. They'd never heard of stone soup and wondered what it was and how it was made and what it tasted like. "How do you make stone soup?" they asked the travelers. "We'll gladly show you," replied the first. "Follow us," said the second. Bring a big empty pot with you and some firewood too," said the third. So they did. Arriving in the town square, one of the travelers made a fire. Another one filled the empty pot with water. And the third placed it over the fire to boil. "And now," said the first, "for the special ingredients." And with a very grand and dramatic flourish so everybody could see, he reached into a leather satchel and he took out three small round stones and plopped, plopped, plopped them into the water. "Soon we shall feast," he exclaimed, stirring the pot with a big wooden spoon. And as the rumor of a feast spread around the town, an excited crowd began to gather in the square. "Just as we planned," whispered the first traveler to his friends. After the pot of water had been boiling for some time, the travelers began to sniff the air and lick their lips. And now, said the first, I will taste it. As the traveler lifted the spoon of bubbling water to his mouth, the crowd craned forward to hear his verdict. It's completely delicious, he announced. At this, the crowd gasped and kind of gurgled a little with delight. True, continued the traveler, some people say, though, that it might need a little salt and pepper, but apart from this, it's practically perfect. No sooner had he said this than the townspeople sent some of their children hurrying home to fetch some salt and pepper, which clever travelers then added to the pot. This is very good. The second traveler tasted the soup again and rubbed his belly with appreciation. These extraordinary stones do indeed make an excellent soup, although perhaps just a couple of carrots would make it even more delicious. Just then an old woman in the crowd called out, I think of it. I may believe I have a carrot or two in the house. And straight away she scurried home and came back hobbling with a whole sack full of sweet and crunchy carrots, which the traveler sliced up and added to the pot. I suppose a perfect stone soup should have some onions, maybe, and perhaps a little cabbage, too, said the third traveler. But what's the point of dreaming about ingredients that we simply haven't got? At this, an old man's voice was heard from the middle of the crowd. I've got some onions, he cried, and cabbages, too, and off he shuffled, returning a few moments later with a wheelbarrow full of onions and fresh green cabbages, which again the travelers shredded and they put in the pot. After another tasting session, the first traveler paused with a look of pure ecstasy on his face before declaring, this stone soup is simply scrumptious, although I suppose a few little fishes and possibly some potatoes, perhaps some oil or margarine or butter would improve the flavor ever so slightly. But apart from that, oh, and maybe some barley and some leeks and some herbs and a drop or two of cream or milk, I can truly say the king himself would be happy to eat this most delicious and nutritious stone soup. When the crowds heard these words, they were deeply impressed, and off they ran to fetch all the food which they had hidden earlier that evening. Soon they returned with sacks and barrows full of tasty ingredients, which the travelers piled into the pot as quickly as they could. Food fit for a king, murmured the townspeople, and all made from stones. Isn't it amazing? Finally, the travelers announced that the soup was ready. But don't worry, said the first, there's enough for everybody. The tables and chairs were placed in the square, bowls and spoons and napkins were set up as well, torches were lit and decorations hung. In the middle of the hustle and bustle, a townsman called out, a soup as special as this deserves nothing but the best. Let's fetch bread and beer and barrels of wine. And so the feast began, and everyone agreed they'd never tasted anything so delicious in their lives. And when the feast was over, the townspeople listened with rapt attention as the travelers told their tales from far and wide, and the townspeople told the travelers all about their lives in the town. And then there was singing and there was dancing until late into the night. Early in the morning, just as the sun was rising, the travelers departed. Thank you so much for teaching us how to make stone soup, said the townspeople. You're very welcome, replied the travelers, nodding and grinning. Be sure to visit us again, said the townspeople. We certainly will, said the travelers. And they did. And they all lived happily ever after. Nobody knows for sure whether the townspeople ever realized that they'd been tricked that night, but in a way, it doesn't matter because they certainly did learn an important lesson. If we each give a little, we can really truly achieve a lot. This story, the townspeople learned how to help themselves and become outside of themselves in so many ways. An effort such that Sarah's taking part in, the story that I read to the children, the healing of the woman that Jesus took place in the gospel. We're not only just presenting a salvation story to people, and which is necessary in so many ways, we're helping change their lives and helping them to change their lives. And especially in the effort Sarah's doing, I can see that because, as I said, you know, without glasses, your life can be very, very limited if you really need them. And there are 2,000 pairs of glasses going on this particular trip this coming month. And it's children and everybody of all ages will be helped with this. And I keep my glasses off because I couldn't drive my car without my glasses anymore almost. I can't see the signs. Think of a life in a place where you can't see at all. You can't read signs. You can't figure out sometimes faces. It may be that bad. And all it is just something as simple as this. It's like the townspeople. Not that they're tricked particularly, but now they've been helping themselves and now they can continue to live a life and help themselves even more. And that's what we're hoping this effort does. Changes their lives, helps them to help themselves in so many ways, and helps them to continue to live. Because mission trips sometimes don't work very well. And I'll say this only this way because I'm going to refer to years back playing in my band that we were playing in, and we would go in and to a church or a community, and we would reach out to young people. And we would, in those days, we could fill a place like this with teenagers to hear our band. And that was great. It was wonderful. We had a great time doing that. But then we're gone. And this room full of teenagers, who's there to help them after that? And that was always a concern on our part. We always did follow up. We always contacted the churches that we played at. We talked to the leaders in the churches to find out who these people were. Because sometimes mission efforts can kind of parachute in and then come out again, and the people are kind of left in this place of, but we're providing things, something as basic as a pair of glasses, they can continue to help and themselves and to improve their lives. And it's just, again, something so simple we take for granted in so many ways. As I look around and see all the glasses that all the people are wearing in this room alone, and what our lives would be like, and how hard it would be to get through our day without a simple pair of glasses, something we take for granted. I'm so excited that Sarah's doing this, that the other two churches in London and Kitchener are doing this. And they're providing much more than glasses. I mean, we've read that list, and Sarah, you know, you've been providing different things. Something as simple as a little doll for the children to play with, again, can change a life. And knowing that this has come from the church, knowing that this has been inspired by that consuming fire of God's love in some people's hearts, yours, Sarah's, and the other places, can change their lives forever in their spiritual life. So it's a wonderful thing that we have, a wonderful opportunity that we have to make stone soup, so to speak, in helping people help themselves. And I'm so glad to be able to have this the congregation's support behind Sarah this morning. And I think it's a wonderful blessing and an extension of the work that we do here in this congregation. Lots of churches are unable to support mission efforts. And you can see, the amount of things that we've been providing and the money that's involved. It's a fair expense just to send some people, volunteers, basically, to help other people. But it's nice that we're able to do that. It shows that God is truly working in our congregation and blessing us in so many ways, and that we're responding to that consuming fire of God's love in our own lives and extending that out beyond our community even and around the world. This is God's rich blessing to us as Christians. Amen. And now, mindful of the generosity of God and the awareness that we have all been given, let's now respond with our offerings from our lives and our labor. Present our offerings to God. Lord God, we thank you that as we're reminded in the Hebrews reading today that we are consecrated and set apart by you in your love, sacrifice of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ's life and resurrection. Lord, we pray that you will set apart this our offering to your glory and to your work in this world and in our community and within our congregation. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This morning, as we offer our prayers for the people, we remember Janice McDonald and her family and the loss that they've suffered with her passing. And again, the many folks in our congregation who are dealing with different sorts of health issues and news that they've received in the last month or so. And those who are recovering from various things. And again, good to see Jack again this morning. I know we've been thinking about you, and it's good to see you up and about. And that's really good answer for prayer for all of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, you invite us to honor and reverence your name through acts of praise and thanksgiving and certainly in prayer. And so, Lord, we ask that you'll hear us as we articulate those concerns for our lives and our community and our different issues around the world. We thank you again, Lord, for this effort that's taking place in Malawi. It's an ongoing effort with all sorts of different organizations. Malawi is in a terrible, terrible state. It has been for a while now, and it's thanks to efforts such as the one that's taking place this month that they are able to at least get through their days to some degree. We pray a blessing on Sarah and the other five people that are going over there, and that you'll be with them, and again, keep them safe, and let them make a difference in the lives of the people that they'll be speaking with and helping. And help them, Lord, to have an opportunity, if it comes up, to tell them why they're there. To tell them that this consuming fire of your love that's in their hearts, that's motivated all of this, and that certainly the support that they have from your people will continue. We pray for your holy church around the world, Lord. Help us to be humble in our service and continue to be generous with our invitations to the outcast, that the church will continue to make efforts around our world, in our own country and in other countries around, that where there is need, we will respond as this church, this called body of Christ. We continue to pray for the needs around the world, Lord, and we know there's very much going on south of the border right now in the American election that's taking place, and there's people who are very nervous and afraid, and there's people who are very excited in many different ways. And it's not the only country that has many different things pressing on it at the moment politically. And we know the troubles in the Middle East, and it just we can go around the world, Lord, and see these things. So we pray that you will be with the leaders to help them to forego the honor and privileges of power and to address the concerns of the poor and those in need. And there are so many. Lord, we pray for those in our community who are burdened by suffering, those who are sick, those who are in physical need, and all those who seek a real deeper knowledge of you. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with them and help us to continue to be a light on the corner here to respond to that as well, that our prayers are making a difference to the lives of people in our community. And our prayers and our actions together, our faith and our actions together, Lord, help actively those in our community in need. We also pray for those who have departed this world, Lord, and the families that have been left behind. And Lord, we want to thank you that they've been able to return to their place of consecration by your side in that sense, in that great company of saints. But we do pray, Lord, for those who mourn, those who grieve. It's difficult when we are reminded sometimes by different things that happen in our lives that someone's missing. And we pray, Lord, that you can bring a light and be a light to those who are grieving in the loss of someone in their life. God of grace and compassion, you honor those in our world who do not seek tribute or respect. You honor those who truly act in response to that consuming fire that's set alight in our own hearts in that sense, that love that you have from Christ. Help us to expand our vision that we might release our need for privilege and instead seek a true honor from your service. Continue to inspire people like Sarah and others to move out accordingly, whether it's next door or around the world, because of something that's going on in our lives, Lord, something that is truly moving us, and that is the love of Christ in our life. We ask all this through the mediation of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you join together now in our final hymn this morning, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, number 677. Forth into the world rejoicing, sure of the healing God offers. Share the good news with all, seeking those who feel unknown and forgotten. Be strengthened in your faith and trust in the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And may the blessing of God, like a parent's love, sustain you. May the peace of God, like a strong castle, protect you. And may the hope of God, like a consuming fire, enlighten you this day and forevermore.